Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Actually Comics. I'm Tristan.
I am Bob.
And this is the new comics listings for June 10th.
July.
July 10th. April, May.
April Fools.
So, yeah, it's that one. Whatever.
Yeah, it's July 10th tomorrow.
By the way, I don't edit these at all, so
nice.
You get to keep that forever.
It's the wacky date hijinks.
Yeah.
Portion of the podcast.
I'm not gonna sit around and edit. I got shit to do. So anything dumb that I say stays there.
Nice.
But there are so many books I am really, really excited about this week.
Many books.
I had emotional moments this week.
I thought you were gonna say you had motion sickness.
I had there were so many good books
going past your face.
I vomited with happiness. There were so many great books.
But you get emotional about the books.
I'm just going to go with what's on top, even though it's my pick of the week.
Oh, it's also my pick of the week. So that's why it's on top.
So I guess we're just going to do our pick of the week this week. Yeah. Second Coming from Ahoy Comics.
Boom.
Oh, my God.
Not Boom Studios, but
Mark
just Boom.
Russell.
Yeah.
I do not know this artist or these two artists.
I do not either.
But we should probably mention
Richard
all of them.
Pace is the artist. Leonard Kirk is the finisher. Now, I do know Leonard Kirk, although it says finisher Earth Pages, and then Andy Troy colorist Earth Pages.
Right.
So basically, Second Coming was supposed to be a Vertigo comic, but then DC
Vertigo
published a
sissy
comic with Batman's penis in it, and they got really scared of doing anything edgy, and they considered this literal farce of Jesus. Basically, it's like if Jesus and Superman were the Odd Couple.
Yep.
This is like kind of like the setup. It is hilarious. It is well illustrated. It is
thought-provoking, as always.
It's just really smart, and it does give you a sense of like the feels, where it's like it's crazy that people were offended by this concept of this comic. Because it's stupid, because anyone who thinks about what is being written in and drawn into this comic.
And also Russell is a biblical scholar. He is an intelligent dude, and he knows his shit when it comes to the Bible.
That character that's in the Shiloh, or I can't remember, Shimon?
Was it Shylock?
Not Shylock. He's the fox from the cartoons.
Oh, Slylock.
Slylock Fox. It's not Slylock.
Was it Swiper?
Swiper.
No swiping.
No swiping from the Bible. No, it's...
That's what they said to Mark Russell when he was writing this. No! No swiping from the Bible.
It must be all original content. No, there's a... Jesus has a buddy, and his name is Shimon.
You see, even though I have read both of Mark Russell's Bible books, I do not know if that is an actual character from
Shimon,
the Bible.
And I don't know if he's an actual character from the Bible. That was my big question. It makes me want to learn more about the Bible. So
it's fascinating.
You know,
isn't
as
it?
A person who isn't interested in Bibles, you know, this comic made me interested in finding out things about the Bible. So
I think it actually personalizes Christianity in a way that I haven't seen anything do.
It actually turned me Christian.
Yeah, I actually became Christian after this too. And yes. I was Zoroastrianist when I started.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a powerful work.
It is.
No, Second Coming for number one from Ahoy Comics. Ahoy Comics is great. I love that they're the ones who put this out, and
they deserved this book.
Yeah.
Because they are the smart, just wonderful comics for comic readers, comics for smart people. Just they are the company.
Yeah, they're great.
So happy they exist. So, and turning to something that's the polar opposite of that, but still flipping awesome.
This had, if it had a little bit more story, maybe it might have been it might have edged out Second Coming, but it was still really good.
Event Leviathan from DC Comics.
Number two.
Awesome. Brian Bendis and Alex Maleev. Man, I love his art, and I love this book, and I love the characterizations.
Yeah.
That was my first thought when I read the first one, was just how dead on he nails what I love about every one of these characters.
Yeah.
When every single time Green Arrow says a single sentence, it is the perfect thing for him to say.
I love his Plastic Man.
And his Plastic Man is dead on as well.
Best
who
Plastic
we're,
Man.
We're introduced to in this one as well.
And it's funny because you say it's like dead on, but it's like it's its own thing. It's just, it incorporates like his work, his writing incorporates like all these different elements, but synthesizes them into like this kind of pure form of things. And as
I agree.
As a DC fan for the last 20 years, it's just how many layers removed from the core concept can they make it? And and Bendis is really bringing it, coalescing it, and that's what I love. And then also, like, this entire issue is essentially like a conversation, but it, like, there's things that happen within that and parts of the mystery that are being revealed, and just really cool.
And the things that they do to make Lois Lane's dad relevant in this issue.
Yeah.
That there are subtle things and there are like whack you over the head things in this, but he gets all of, I don't know, five panels in this book, and you know who he is. You're established that he has respect in this world and you believe it.
Yeah.
You don't. Like, a lot of times in a book like this, they'll be like, and this guy, oh boy, you gotta look out for him. And everybody's like, no, you don't. Yeah. I 100% do not give two fucks about this guy.
Yep.
And also, in this, I'm like, I want to know more about Lois Lane's dad. After reading this, I'm just like, holy crap. I hope that he's part of the Lois Lane series going forward.
I think he will be.
I would imagine.
I think that's a fair bet. Also, the question rules in this. Also, really great to see. I think Lois Lane rules in this.
Yep.
Batman, it's nice to see like detectives, like he's like basically Batman has gathered like a group of detectives, and for some reason
Detective Chimp isn't there. Well, whatever.
But for some reason everyone has forgotten that Plastic Man is a detective. And so like having him as part of that is like just really cool.
It's true.
Also just his humor, it's like Plastic Man actually, you know, he's supposed to be funny. He's actually funny.
Yes.
And that's like it's cool.
That's the problem, is that like just being good at writing a superhero comic doesn't mean that you're a good comedian. Doesn't mean that you have good humor material. And it apparently Bendis has good humor material, which I would never have really guessed, I guess, except for New Avengers. I guess his Spidey was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I think it's just when he's not spent.
Yeah.
You know, like he's just a really good writer,
and he's firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, I love like if he took over all of DC to some, even on an editorial or like, you know, whatever. It's like that era of DC where the artist editor, where the artists were the editors, and it was like the high point. I feel kind of like that is, I don't know, whatever. I'm waxing, but anyway.
I'm waxing my legs,
philosophical.
And I really shouldn't be
waxing
doing that right
philosophical.
Now.
Okay. If I were to complete the comic cliche sentence that I was about to utter. I'm also going to talk about Bendis. So I've been waiting for almost a year to talk about the comic that is out this week, which is called Batman Universe. And it is a reprint of the Walmart Batman comics that Bendis has been doing with Nick Darrington. Previously to this issue, you had to go to Walmart to get them. I have been doing that and feeling horrible.
A hundred page issue with a bunch of reprint stuff in it as well.
Which
right?
even in itself is like is fine. It's just they shouldn't be exclusive to Walmart.
Oh,
like
I agree.
It's just it's,
as a retailer, I fucking agree.
Well, as any like as a fan, as a person, like I don't just it, the nightmare that is trying to get these comics at it's just too much work.
Yeah,
it's stupid. But this so basically each issue of the Walmart series has a 10-page Batman story in it, and then they're doing two of them in one comic. And so you get the first two installments, which is basically this mystery that Batman is involved in. It's a very much like a, I want to say it's like a, that superhero-y kind of detective story that Batman can do, where it's like, it's not like, here's the clues, figure it out. It's like, here's this weird mystery that Batman's following. But it, I will say, and I know I'm not worried terribly about spoiling a lot of this because so much of it is out there.
It's out there.
But
it's there already.
It starts in Gotham City, but then it's called Batman Universe for a reason, because it goes into all the corners of the DC Universe. And there are really cool things coming in this. I think Nick Darrington also is just one of the best artists working today. There's like photo reference. If you were to do side by side, there's literally a panel in the first chapter of this where it is the set is from the Batman Tim Burton Batman movie.
Yeah.
He's just drawn it into the comic.
And also,
like, it's so cool.
I super appreciate that he went all in on the, I think it's the Super Friends Batmobile is what he chose for this. And also the Kenner Batmobile. So like the toy of the 80s and the one of the Super Friends is the one that they're using for this, which I love that. I love that design for the Batmobile. It's just so insane.
Absolutely.
So pointy.
The Riddler design is very much like the Frank Gorshin kind of like, it's just, it's so good.
Yep.
Anyway, highest possible recommend for, even though it's not brand new material, Batman Universe. If you haven't wanted to deal with the nightmare that is finding these comics at Walmart, now you don't have to worry about it anymore. It's finally coming out.
Absolutely agreed. That is probably the best Batman story I've read in years.
It is absolutely the best Batman comic I've read in years. It is fun. It's like where Batman and Robin, when Morrison was doing that, and like Dick Grayson was Batman and Damian, like, it was fun. It was like all of a sudden, like, you're just so used to Batman being so pointlessly dark. And it's like, and I get that Batman lends himself to being like a dark character.
A dark knight, if you will.
But it's like, very much. But sorry.
To coin a phrase.
I like that. You should consider doing something with that phrase. Perhaps a fanzine. The darkness of those stories becomes more interesting when you see it juxtaposed with a lightness. And this,
I agree. I think that those things don't work in a vacuum.
Yeah.
And there haven't been enough good, like, happy, good, like, enjoyable, fun Batman stories to make the dark Batman stories make any fucking sense.
Yeah, or to even have just, like, a resonance. Pummeled with this, like, darkness. Whereas this is like Batman, like the superhero. Also, one of the reprint in this one is the first appearance of Jonah Hex's great granddaughter, who's in a character in the Young Justice series. So if you ever were curious about her actual first appearance but never saw it, it's in there. And we should probably move on to this book called Spider-Man.
No. How about this book called talk about this because I did not read it.
All right. Black Hammer Justice League. It's number one. It's from Dark Horse in DC. It is literally just the team up of Black Hammer and the Justice League. It is a thing of beauty. I love Black Hammer, and I love it. I love a DC comic, and this basically just smushes them together. Like, it's just, the art's really good. I really dig it. I'm down. So Black Hammer Justice League number one is out. I should have more to say about it. It's just, it's really good.
Fair enough.
It has Starro.
God damn it. I wish I had read this.
Oh, it was actually really good.
I'm super mad that I didn't read this. Amazing Spider-Man is great. And I didn't read it, so I have nothing really to say about it, but I just, like, thumbed it, and now I was really stoked about it, and I need to read it.
Well, I'm going to say, so it's, for some reason, it's an extra length issue. I guess because
it's issue 25.
I guess that's meaningful in these days. But it has all the regular artists, but it is also the first work from former Young Justice and Batman artist Pat Gleason. However, as much as the story itself, the main story, which is involving Humberto Ramos and Ryan Otley and all those guys, it's like kind of like this more of a Mary Jane story than a Spider-Man story.
Yes.
But then in the back, there's a backup story, which I think could be published. I would read it as a whole single issue.
Oh,
just
absolutely.
That. Dan Hipp is the artist, who I love. And it's basically like, if you, the premise, even though it has an actual writer, the premise is that they fed every Spider-Man story that's ever been published into a machine, and it spit out this like ultimate Spider-Man story. And it's written like as if a Google algorithm like spat out the pieces of Spider-Man.
And
like,
it's drawn just, it's so wonderful.
The art is fantastic. Dan Hipp is so good.
And the Dr. Octopus looks like Gimme Gimme Octopus, the Japanese children's.
Gude, gude, gude.
Exactly.
You know, I still have that from Videoport.
I don't know how that wasn't my choice to take home.
I got it first.
Well, that's probably why. I think it was because I was too obsessed with taking the horror section marquees.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And I didn't worry about
that.
The marquees.
That was my first want was the horror.
I got Mystery Thriller for my marquee, but I did get the Looney Tunes clock.
I got the Phantasm clock.
Ooh, nice. Yeah, I got the Looney Tunes clock, and I got the Gimme, the hammer, the Octopus hammer. Anyway, no one cares about what
nobody knows that we both worked at Videoport. Both worked at the greatest, and my wife as well. All three of us worked at the greatest video store on earth, Videoport.
Yes.
And it was a life-changing experience and made us the people we are today.
Yes.
Almost inevitably.
Yeah. No, yes. I mean,
I met my wife there, so.
I did not, although my wife did shop there.
See, so technically you did.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of Dan Hip, I'm going to segue directly into another comic with his art that came out, which is called Young Justice, number 7. And in this issue of Young Justice, they have finished their last adventure and they are cast into the multiverse where they jump from Earth to Earth. And the first Earth they encounter is essentially Teen Titans Go. And it is drawn by Dan Hip. It's great.
And what about the Captain Carrot universe?
And then they go to the Captain Carrot universe. And then they go to the Kingdom Come universe and, you know, read the comic. It's great.
Yeah.
Wonder Comics, Brian Bendis's
Can
imprint.
Do No Wrong.
Yeah, and Young Justice, number 7. I'm really looking forward to seeing what is going to happen with Tim Drake, because supposedly he's getting a new... like code name and stuff. So I'm this arc.
His last name is Drake, so I'm hoping it's duck themed.
Drake's Cakes.
Well, maybe it's maybe that would be it.
Drake's Cakes. he's the duck from the Drake's Cakes. I'm gonna mention a comic that I love. Number 3, Gogor. Gogor by Ken Garing. This is a swamp monster alien planet guy rides on giant voles. It's just this guy Ken Garing. I don't know who this guy is. Everything. I talked about every issue of this so far. I'm going to talk about every issue that comes out. Created, written, drawn, colored, lettered by. It is awesome. I love this book. I love the coloring style of this book. I love the characters. There's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle in this, but he looks like an actual turtle.
Oh my God.
And a Usagi. It's not really. It's just animals that kind of look like them. But anyway, it's a fantasy, but like a fun all ages, but not like exclusive to children all ages. Like just any age could appreciate it kind of thing. It's cool. What are we talking about next?
Talking about Wonder Comics, Wonder Twins.
Wonder Twins. Wonder Twins.
Still brilliant. Still really fun. And still some heart-wrenching moments with the damn monkey.
Oh, for sure. This is number 6 of the Wonder Twins, and it was supposed to be a 6-issue miniseries, but as we learned recently...
All the good things got extended by 6 issues!
Yeah, because it's great.
Holy crap.
So there's going to be more in a couple months. Wonder Twins is awesome.
Yeah.
Great series.
All that needs to be said.
It's not written by Bendis, but it is part of Wonder Comics. It is written by Mark Russell,
yes,
who wrote Second Coming, which we talked about earlier, and is brilliant.
Criminal number 6 is out. I haven't read it, but come on. It's Brubaker and Phillips. Yeah. Of course it's fucking great.
Oh no, it's amazing. There's no point in reading this in one at a time. Except for the back matter stuff, is fun to read. And that's what I do is like, I'll read the like text pages at the back and then I'll save up the arc and then read the arc. Criminal's awesome.
And here was my teared up at a moment book of the week. Which was Naomi number 6.
Yeah.
There was a reveal in this that legitimately gave me like chills and a tear. And still is very inspirational and makes me very happy. And
yes,
I love it very much.
Yeah, I really like the Naomi series. This is number 6, so it's the end of the miniseries, although there is apparently going to be a sequel to it. It's a big battle issue, and you get some more pieces of her origin, including her wonderful last name.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Good job, everybody.
Let's talk about this one.
Oh, my God. Speaking of gifts that we just keep getting, this was a wonderful present from out of nowhere. Giant-sized Ecstatics, number 1, a one-shot in the middle of nowhere. It's Ecstatics. It's Pete Milligan and Mike Allred and Laura Allred coloring it. I mean,
yeah, As if no time had passed at all.
Yeah, it literally just feels like you were reading the Ecstatics in the 90s, and then this issue could have come next.
Yeah, except for there is an implied
time gap, yes.
Because you'll see why if you read it. If you read Ecstatics before, if you didn't read Ecstatics before, there is like full recap. It's not, you're not going to be going into a cold.
Yeah, time has passed in real time, it looks like.
Yeah,
even though it hasn't done so for the X-Men.
Right. So even though the old Ecstatics kind of did have team-ups with like Avengers and X-Men and stuff and seemed like they were trying to kind of make it in continuity, I think what's established in this issue is that there's absolutely no way.
Right.
That this is in continuity and that it's its own kind of like Hellboy-style timeline where it's just like every month that goes by is implied to be an actual month.
I love that.
Which is cool.
Yep. That's great.
I call it the for better or worse timeline.
Yep. Man, I love it.
That's how that comic strip worked.
Yes.
Did you get that?
I eventually figured it out. I remember that. Isn't the dog dead now? Good God.
Oh,
what
kind
of a terrible thing?
Well, I mean, technically, I think they're all dead now.
Oh, God,
no,
really?
No, no. Sorry.
I mean, by now, Garfield would be dead.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Garfield would be dead like many times over.
Okay, so Batman, Detective Comics, 1007.
Yes. I'm going to take a brief moment to not talk about the Batman Detective Comics, which is drawn by Kyle Hotz and features Batman and the Spectre and is great. But this Marvel Comics 1000 thing is really bothering me. Like, I see this and it's like, okay, there are 1,006 previous issues to Detective Comics. Marvel is just like, yeah, well, you know, we had a comic that came out at the same time and if it were continually published, it might have been. Ugh. And shut up.
No, it is.
Hate it.
It's stupid.
And
but
it'll sell more, probably. Actually, I don't know. Maybe it won't.
I don't think. I certainly hope it doesn't, because I certainly didn't order as though it was going to.
I just always kind of assume that Marvel is going to sell
more.
But
with the price point that thing was at.
Oh, I don't know. Is it really expensive?
It's real pricey. I mean, it's a $10 book, I think. Eesh. Maybe more.
Yikes.
And I was like, screw this. I mean, Detective sold really well for that, but I feel like.
But it's a legacy issue. There are,
right.
It's the actual 1,000th issue of this title,
right.
That's been continually published for 80 years.
And the thing is, DC hasn't abused the variant cover thing the way that Marvel has.
Yeah.
Where DC has one variant cover for each issue, Marvel has 10 for some issues. You know,
yeah.
Like, so when Detective Comics does 12 different basic covers, that's a big deal. And somebody will buy those because they didn't have to buy the 10 covers for Batman last month.
$9.99.
You know, exactly. So I think it's more. I don't expect it to do as well as Detective.
Yeah,
I would be shocked if it did.
Yeah.
But if Marvel had a brain in their heads, and they kind of do, they would leak that there is a right before FOC. They'd be like, and by the way, there's a new character that's going to be a really big deal, and so I would double my orders instantly.
Oh, is that what happened?
No, but but I would. Yeah. And I haven't heard such a thing, so I'm shocked, because with a $10 issue, they should have put something behind it that gives me some sort of impetus to order
it's
like an idiot.
It's the first appearance of Spider-Man number 812.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay.
This one is a fox.
So speaking of things that are surprising,
Spider-Fox.
I'm going to tell you something. This title, which should have been a throwaway garbage book,
oh.
I liked.
Yeah, it was fun.
I was, this is, I'm talking about Weapon Plus.
Yeah.
This brings in, so this is currently Wolverine and Captain America Weapon Plus, but it is referencing a lot of characters that they're pulling into the Weapon Plus program that I'm actually kind of interested to see how they are, how they do it.
Well, it's exact, because like Grant Morrison came up with Weapon Plus.
Yes.
And with Weapon 1 being Captain America and Weapon
10
being Wolverine.
And Weapon 11 being Phantom X and
yeah.
Weapon 13 being
actually,
Lara or something. Or no.
I think Phantom X is Weapon 13. I don't
13.
Know. Maybe. I think
he is. You're right.
Yeah, he's Weapon something.
But and then is Laura Weapon 51? Is
yeah,
that her thing?
I don't know what she is.
But yeah, a lot of them got killed in that weird thing. And then, I don't know, there's a piece of continuity that I missed involving Phantom X, so I'm not going to spoil it because I don't know what the deal is, but I'll just leave that. Maybe I haven't been paying attention to X comics well enough. But Phantom X is one of my favorite characters, so I'm interested to see how this plays out. I love this book. I honest to God cannot wait to read the rest of it. So
this is a series. This is the first issue of a series.
Yeah, look at the back, and they're each one of those, and I'm actually super stoked to see. Yeah, that's the one that I was like, oh my God, that's
okay.
That's significant and fun. That's Luke Cage.
Is it?
Definitely.
Damn.
What's it's just Captain Underpants. I don't know who that is.
Huh. I mean, that's cool.
It's Man Thing. Whatever. Yeah. We can spoil it.
Wait, who's Weapon 2?
Ursa Major? Maybe.
And that's Venom?
Venom. Or no, Carnage.
Carnage?
Carnage is definitely, because Carnage was like a weaponized.
But how would Carnage's number come before Wolverine's number?
Oh, those are just the issues.
Okay.
So it's not saying
Carnage is Weapon 5. It's saying that the fifth issue.
The fifth issue
Carnage
is going to be like Carnage, Weapon Carnage, or whatever he is.
You don't need to buy any of them. We spoiled.
You know what? You're done.
It's a really good, fun issue to read.
I honestly could not be more surprised. I thought it was going to play out like one of those just throwaway garbage comics, and it is totally not.
I digged it.
And you know what? I also dug this Care Bears Unlock the Magic. Yeah. I actually did not
I didn't. It's not that I didn't care for it.
I think it's actually really well done for a kid's book.
There's a new Care Bears cartoon. I looked it up. And it's called Unlock the Magic. And for some reason, the comic book came out before the cartoon.
Perfect. It definitely would be one of those, like, for fans of Steven Universe and those kinds of cartoons. It's
like
fun.
Care Bears crossed with Adventure Time.
Yeah, it's a fun, positive kid story.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay, and again, maybe it's time to just ignore my opinion on everything after Weapon Plus. Wolverine and Blade.
I flipped through this and I forgot.
Wolverine versus Blade. I loved it. It's like an extra issue of X-Force from the hyper violent era of X-Force.
Whoa, yeah.
It's like just ungodly bloody and just like people being sliced into tiny pieces.
Is this like an inventory story? It's weird to me that it's set so specifically in that no longer published era of X-Force.
Doesn't it look just like it is, because it's, I don't know, man, but
I'm under arrest for even suggesting it.
Yeah, how dare you?
whoop, whoop, whoop.
That's the sound of the police.
Yes.
That's the sound of the bees.
this looks fun.
It's awesome. It is absolutely awesome. If you loved that... I can't remember who the team was that was doing X-Force back then when it was going.
Clayton Crane might
be
one of the artists.
Clayton Crane was one of the artists, and Wells and Crane, I think, were doing it. And it was just...
Oh, this is written by Mark Guggenheim. Might he have been the writer?
Maybe. It was from the Sex and Violence era of X-Force, and just awesome.
Like when Deadpool was at X-Force.
Yeah. I cared about Blade in this, and I cared about Wolverine. A tough thing to do in this day and age when they have fucked up both characters so terribly.
My spit shield is falling down. I apologize. All right. Next?
War of Realms Omega.
That's the
wraps
end of
up,
War of Realms.
Wraps up War of Realms.
What it really is a preview of three new comic books.
Yep.
In one convenient package.
Yep. Shows you what's going to happen with some of the main characters. I'm actually very, as I loved The Punisher, I'm excited to see that there's more Punisher stuff spinning out of this.
There definitely
is. I'm going to read that.
Also, I think technically this is the first appearance of Jane Foster, Valkyrie.
I believe that is correct.
Jane Foster, Valkyrie.
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 Okay, so that is it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Venom, number 16.
You talk about this one. I liked
one
it,
of,
but you
one
can say
One of my
more.
Favorite issues in this series... It's Eddie Brock without the symbiote, just looking after his kid, and like the two of them are basically starving. He's out like looking for money, trying to do stuff. Goes out and just basically proves they've turned Eddie Brock into one of these Frank Castle type characters who is human and normal, but in the Marvel universe, if you are insane enough, you can overcome any foe. And Eddie Brock is such a maniac in this that he can literally just beat up people who are symbiote powered by himself because he is so nutso. And you see sort of the shadow of Venom behind him. You see him as Venom, but he is not Venom.
Right.
He's literally just crazy.
But that's, I think that's like kind of the take, right? Is that like, no, even without the symbiote, he's still Venom.
Yeah.
And
that the Venom symbiote wasn't actually what was making him violent and crazy.
Yeah.
He was making him violent and crazy.
Also, there's kind of a Deadpool-y thing going on where he's like talking to multiple people in his own head.
Yeah, that's been, I mean, that,
that's, I mean,
that's kind of a Venom thing. But, and also it's kind of heartwarming and kind of like, he's been a very tough character to humanize, and Donny Cates has done a magnificent job of turning him into a person as opposed to a cartoon, because he had been such a...
I want to eat your brain.
He had been such a two-dimensional person. Exactly. And so I just can't say enough good things about it. Love it.
I think they should do a crossover team-up between Moon Knight and Venom and Deadpool, and it should have 18 narrators. What do you think?
I think it's going
to pitch it. I'm going to pitch it to Marvel. The most confusing comic book ever.
It's going to be the highest paid letterer in the history of comics.
Yes.
Okay, so another great book that came out this week. Cullen Bunn has released another magnificent thing.
This was cool.
Unearth number one. Loved it. So, story by Cullen Bunn and Kyle Strom. Awesome. Art by Baldemar Reveas.
New artist for me.
Baldemar Reveas. Rivas.
Rivas?
Rivas. Letters by Crank.
Crank.
Yet again, knocks it out of the park with a great horror story. Some like very The Thing, very
I was gonna say Cronenberg-y.
It's Cronenberg-y. It's Starship Troopers-y. It's, you know, it's like all sorts of these wonderful things. It's a bunch of
these
are a few of my favorite things. Honestly, if you set up a story where you've got a bunch of gung-ho idiots carrying guns that are telling scientists that why they're stupid, and scientists who are behaving like morons because they're so obsessed with whatever scientific progress they're going for, and they're backed up by huge dudes with guns, it's probably gonna be a fun story for me.
Yeah, I did.
That is
like
kind of one of my favorite genres.
The part where they find the doctor, was very cool.
There's some good reveals. There's some good. Yeah, this book is great. It's gonna do wonderful things. If you like Cullen Bunn, you're probably gonna love this book.
Yep.
Thor just kind of wraps up the Thor story and sets the new world in motion. But I will say it also shows you the punishment of the villain of of Laufrey.
Yeah.
And also there's a resolution moment with Thor that I actually thought was wonderful.
With Pop Pop?
Yeah, Pop Pop.
Nice.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I thought it was good. Great. It was great.
That's good. Except for the fact that if you like read the myths, like you realize like what a total shithead Odin is.
Yeah, but I mean,
unrepentant, just complete garbage person.
But that's the thing, is he's learning. This is the Terminator character. 2 thing where like the future is unwritten.
Ooh,
where like he's that. Something has happened and he's splitting from his destined future. He's gonna learn from his mistakes, and Thor is gonna learn from his mistakes, and it's gonna be different.
It's gonna be so different. So now for a brief moment,
DC fucked up their shipping and shipped us the variant for Doom Patrol 1 week late, which I think they did to everybody.
Now, I love the Doom Patrol, and I loved the last Doom Patrol series. I thought this issue was a little hard to follow, but it actually felt more like the TV show to me. If you liked the TV show and just kind of like the just throwing crazy concepts at you, but then also explaining those crazy concepts to you at the same time, that was like something that Morrison's stuff never really did, was like he would throw these crazy concepts and leave you to figure them out, whereas these are like, here's a crazy thing, and then there's like a caption to explain to you why the crazy thing is crazy and what they're doing. So maybe it's a little easier to follow. But basically what's going on is at the end of the last series, Cliff Steele became human again, and then the rest of the team is like basically flying through the multiverse and visiting different worlds. There is a character, Gerard Way creates like amazing characters. And there's this one in here, and I'm sorry, I just have to get his name. Corbin, the Orb God.
Ooh.
First appearance of Corbin, the Orb God, in Doom Patrol: Way to the Worlds, Young Animal Wave 2, number one. The variant issue is in stock. The regular issue came out last week, and we didn't do a podcast last week, so didn't get to talk about it. But I love the Doom Patrol, so. I will say the arc with Cliff Steele, which is kind of like there's the team doing their team thing, and then there's Cliff Steele kind of like being like, I'm human again, let's experience my life, and then kind of being like, oh God, my life sucked, was kind of I liked it. He's one of my favorite characters in comics, so it's cool to see. Bitterroot Red Summer Special.
Has a summer special.
Which indicates that it's in some way like happy, sunny. It is not. Bitterroot is.
It is slicey and stabby and very, very, very action-y.
Demonic.
It is more action-y than the average Bitterroot issue.
Yeah. Although some of the Bitterroot stuff has been pretty action-y. It's kind of like filling in some of the backstory a little bit.
Yeah.
Going back to like the 1800s and then like the early 1900s. And if you follow Bitterroot, it's like the Sangiri family. And they are like monster hunters, like a family of monster hunters, and it's cool.
Yeah, it's
a great series. It's by the people who did that really good Power Man Iron Fist series, David Walker and Brown. What's Brown's first name?
That's stupid that I don't remember.
Chuck Brown. Those are the writers. David Walker and Chuck Brown. And then the artist is Sanford Green.
Thank you.
And Sanford Green does some art in this, but there's also other artists.
I knew it was a last name that was also a color. okay, so Batman number 74?
Yep, it came out.
They're walking through the desert on horses.
They're still walking through. So you got 6 issues of Batman tripping, and now you have 6 issues of Batman running, walking through the desert with his dad, who is also Batman.
Yes. Also Avengers 21.
Yeah.
The
hot tub issue.
They mostly spend it in a hot tub. It's kind of a wrapping up the arc for.
It was good.
Yeah,
it was actually a much needed kind of character focused issue.
Absolutely agreed. I loved it, and I love this new narrative technique that they're using for She-Hulk that I haven't seen yet up until now, where she is brutish Hulk when she speaks. And in her inner monologue, she is intelligent. She has the Jennifer voice in her head. She can think properly, but when she tries to talk, she can only do Hulkisms, which comes out when she tries to ask Blade out on a date and doesn't manage to
be able to pull
it off. She was lacking eloquence.
Also, the Black Panther Brew team up is continuing to be like, I love it. I love Brew. I love that he's in this book.
Also, Blade licks Man-Thing, which was really fucking weird.
Isn't Blade using Man-Thing as wings at one point?
He's got Blade has like a cape made out of Man-Thing.
Yeah,
like he's got a little Man-Thing on his shoulder, and he's like, there's blood everywhere. I could almost taste it. And he like turns over and licks the little Man-Thing on his shoulder. It's like, what the fuck was that about?
Yeah, it's weird.
That was a weird moment.
Black Cat number 2 is out. It is continuing to be a very good series. I'm not sure the art style is going to be a big popular choice among fans of the traditional comic book, you know,
wingding.
Yeah, just like the Black Cat, like pinup style art. Like it doesn't have that, and
yeah,
I think it's unfortunate that that is something that people that might sink a series, because this is actually really good. And it has that character who I love. Is it the Black Fox?
Yes.
Who I always want to call the Silver Fox.
Understandable.
But anyway, it's fun.
That's
good,
that
good
CNN
heist.
News anchor you're thinking
good,
of.
Good heist comics. Silver Fox?
Yes.
I don't know. There was a character in Who's Who called Silver Deer. Maybe I'll talk about Silver Deer next week.
Maybe you should. Superman is out. I did not read it.
Yeah, I don't. You know, as much as I love Bendis and what he's doing with DC, the stuff he's doing with the Superman book, I'm not really following. I think mucking with the origin too much is like, Like, I'm not sure. I just, it's not that I think it's bad. I just think it's like, why?
It's like usually a recipe for destruction.
Like, basically what he's saying in this is that, like, part of why Krypton blew up is that Hawkman's planet attacked it. And I don't know. It's like, it's just, it blew up because the council were stupid and they didn't listen to Jor-El. Like, what else do you need?
Yep. I agree.
Anyway, whatever. It's a big, big origin of the end of Krypton issue. Superman number 13. Miles Morales
was depressing.
I didn't read it.
Well, it's a bummer. He's being experimented on in a laboratory, and it's like, and they are driving him slowly insane. And that's
I often think what would make Spider-Man Miles Morales better is if he. It sucks too because it's Saladin Ahmed.
It has been a good series, and I trust Saladin Ahmed to pull this out of what is the darkest Spider-Man. Miles Morales story I've read.
I want Jason Latour on Miles Morales.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like Miles. I like Miles happy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want nice things for Miles.
I want bright, vibrant, like badass. I want him wearing like the Spider-Verse costume. Like, I want just make Spider-Verse Miles Morales. Just like make Miles Morales Spider-Verse again.
And I just.
It's like MAGA, but like. You know, whatever something else spell.
I just feel like with Spider-Man, with Peter Parker, it's the bad luck of his situation that always makes him. He stays positive and focused in the face of desperation and just like the world turning against him. And the same thing is true about Miles. Like, I want Miles to maintain a good attitude about everything, and I want him to be in that world, but I don't want it to be dark, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm not saying like whatever, this issue is one issue,
it
hasn't felt like overly dark.
No,
I do trust Saladin Ahmed as a writer. I think he's great visually.
I don't know that I've ever read anything by him that I dislike. And this is a very interesting looking issue.
Yeah, the pacing of it is really cool.
There's a cool thing where it's like, it's intentionally supposed to be bad things are happening to him and he's being experimented on in this room by this mysterious whatever. And so they lay the panels out in this very bland, everything square. So it's very clinical. It plays to the narrative,
like,
very well.
If you're gonna give me like a really cool and interesting narrative panel layout, I don't really want every panel to be Miles Morales getting cut with a scalpel or like crying.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just I feel like it's a little bit of a misstep for me and for at least as far as what I want from that series. Spider-Verse made me love this character. And in a way that even the character's own creator, who I also like, couldn't make me care about. And part of what that is like that aesthetic that, like, when that Spider-Ham comic came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's like that aesthetic. Like, give that creative team this comic.
Yeah.
And then give this creative team a different comic that also is like a high profile, awesome comic, because these people are great and deserve to have it. But like, I just don't, I'm not seeing
it's
not working for me.
Yeah. You can get away with that for one of the serious street level kind of characters, but
yeah, like Moon Knight or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or like, I mean, I don't know anyone really.
Anybody.
They could be doing that Black Cat series. They could be doing any comic, Cloak and Dagger, whatever.
Yeah.
Did you read this one?
I did not, but apparently Ironheart has Sub-Zero on the cover this time. I don't know what that's about.
Sub-Zero is now just plain Zero. sorry.
God, I wish it was that Sub-Zero from Running Man.
Yes.
That's money. And again, yet another issue that I was surprised by. Invisible Woman, number one, was not the craziest fan of the art. It's very digital. It's very...
Yeah.
It's a very...
I thought the art was good. I just didn't like it.
Yeah, I absolutely thought that the art was skilled. It just was not my style. But the story was, like, 100% knock out of the park for me.
You know what I did really enjoy?
Imagining a world where I was going to be excited about an Invisible Woman comic.
Well, do you remember years ago when there was the Marvel, now they have Marvel Adventures and it's like a whole line of stuff, but they had a line of comics that was Marvel Adventures.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did an issue where it was Invisible Woman, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was just like issue of it. And it was awesome. This is like that.
This
like
is
basically
the continuation
like
of that idea.
This character is like huge implications for being in a like a James Bond style like espionage story. In the same way that why X-Men First Class is my favorite X-Men movie, where it's like put these random mutant characters just like into a spy comic.
Yeah.
Or into a spy movie. You know?
And that's what this is.
And that's what this is. And it's cool. So there is one thing that I really liked about it, which is there's one panel where she's wearing the Kirby costume.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny to see that Kirby costume in like super hyper realistic style.
Right.
It looks so goofy.
And it's like
it's baggy.
Yeah, and it's got a weird underwear line.
The grandma pants. Like,
yeah.
Just like
yeah.
When it's like the pants that like if you do laundry at your parents' house and like your mom's gets like mixed in. I don't know. It's weird. But the Invisible Woman comic was surprisingly decent.
Super good. If you were looking for like, this is kind of what I was looking for out of the Black Widow series that I didn't get.
Okay.
This last one, I was like hoping that Black Widow would be this kind of like,
yeah,
we're going on a mission. And it never felt like there was ever a real big, like,
nice.
We're getting the boys together kind of moment.
However,
you know?
The G Russo last page of this comic
I know.
Has a character that you might be interested in.
I know, might be interesting.
I just dropped
cool.
it on the ground.
It's not interesting at all. It's on the floor.
It's no longer mint.
Also this week, Critical Role, Vox Machina Origins.
You will have to talk about this comic.
I will have to talk about it because it is fairly significant, but guess what? I don't know anything about this world. I do not watch Critical Role, so I don't know crap about it. I just know that it is like the most popular D&D YouTube channel in the world. They have 500,000 people who watch it every week, and
damn.
I don't know nothing about it. This is a very well done comic, and it is something that everyone, like one of the top five questions that I get asked that I have no good answer for. Well, my only good answer is Rat Queens now. But people ask me for Dungeons and Dragons quest style comic books.
Oh my God, Gogor.
And like assembling a team, going to drink mead, and then all right, we got to get into a dungeon. We've got to fight some monsters. We've got to, you know, like
Spider
some sort
King,
of, like a quest. Spider King is a perfect example.
Yeah,
that's one that I can recommend. Sort of Headlopper.
Yeah.
Sort of, but definitely Rat Queens is
super
in that realm. But this is great. I really, really enjoy
nice.
This.
Cool.
And I have absolutely no basis for understanding it. So I'm shocked that I was able to get into it, but definitely top tier art and top tier writing on this. So
Jody
good
Hauser,
deal. If that's a thing
on the writing.
Yeah.
He's there.
Yep. And Matthew Mercer is one of the people who's associated with the DM for the thing. So Mercer is a consultant on this, or at least he's credited with the full story. So he wrote the story, and then Jody Hauser scripted it.
He's the DM?
Yes, he's the DM for Critical Role.
The Doctor of Medicine?
Yes. The Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse. Kanan, Savage Sword of number 7 is out. I will say it has...
I prefer it to Savage Sword of Andy Richter.
I definitely do as well. I like that Patrick Zercher is now cover credited as Patch Zercher, which is really great. He is amazing artist, and he is doing this story, which is a to be continued. Kanan is slashing his way through the landscape of Hyboria. And smirking and cutting,
smirking and
way.
Stabbing,
smirking and stabbing. Also, there's Marvel Action Black Panther number 2, which is inexplicably written by Kyle Baker, which I love. For some reason, they have Kyle Baker doing the variant cover on this instead of the main cover, which is like, what is wrong with you?
But, I don't know the answer to that.
Like, the Kyle Baker cover is so amazing, and it's like the main cover is like...
not.
I mean, it's all right.
I mean, it's just not Kyle Baker.
Yuck, someone's yum who's favorite. Like, what that? Like, why is that the variant cover? That's the main cover right there. It's Kyle Baker drawing Black Panther wrestling a tiger. Because
it's too busy, I think, is the answer to that question.
Oh, my God, it's beautiful.
It is gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous.
It would make me want to buy the comic.
Yeah.
Alone. Just having that cover on it.
Yeah, good stuff.
Anywho.
Lots of trades out.
I can talk about that.
Including Murder Falcon, which, as everyone knows, is the greatest of Falcon murdering books.
As far as Falcons go, the murder one
is
my favorite. Captain Falcon, he's all right, but Murder Falcon is definitely...
Blue Falcon. Not really much without Dynamutt.
I just never understood why Blue Falcon had stretchy limbs. It was like, isn't that overkill? Like, just have him fly. Like, he's a Falcon guy.
He is a Falcon.
And he has these robot arms.
No, just the dog.
The dog has the robot arms?
Yeah.
It shows you how much of my childhood memory is just... completely made up.
He just has an awesome car that flies.
Okay, fine. All right, Blue Falcon is the best, then Murder Falcon.
Okay.
Weird World.
Oh my God, the reprinted
original
Weird World, which is so much cooler than I remember.
Speaking of Seema Plug, and just if that means something to you, get this.
Then you probably want it. But again, speaking of, this is a perfect time because it's basically a D&D comic.
Oh, cool. So now you have that to recommend. It's also really good. There's a Godzilla King of Monsters. What's this? A box of something?
It's a box of something. The NECA, a bunch of NECA figures came in. We got the replica Friday the 13th, the final chapter masks with the big machete wound in the top. So we got a case of those in from NECA. They're really cool. Also got the Godzilla figures in from the 1956 Godzilla poster, and it is the coolest goddamned figure I've ever seen in my life.
That's what this is?
And I may have to actually buy one, and I'm trying not to take anything home from the store anymore. And in this instance, I think I may have to change my mind because this is the best thing I've ever seen. It's all done in those crazy yellows and oranges of the original 56 poster.
Making me want it.
It's so good. It's so friggin' good.
That's cool.
And what else came in?
So Men in Black Undercover, what's that?
Oh, it's a card game?
Card game. Murder Falcon. Then New Mutants Omnibus.
Oh, yes. Featuring the bear
the
story.
Demon bear story. Yeah. This is all the Bill Sienkiewicz.
Yes.
Stuff. And then also Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, which is the Tom Taylor series, which is great.
That we have been constantly telling people to read.
Yes.
And I was like, when it first came out, I was like, read this. And everyone was like, whatever. I don't care. And then 3 months later, we've sold out of everything, and everybody's like,
including the one that I really wanted to read.
I know, the kid that collected Spider-Man homage.
Yeah, which is now apparently in this. Is it in this one?
I think it's probably in the trade.
I'll read it at some point.
But that book is so good. Yeah. So if you want a fun Spider-Man read, grab Friendly Neighborhood. It is awesome.
Yeah, that's out. We also got Sandman Universe Finally, Books of Magic.
Books of Magic is collected, the new series.
That is the Tom Fowler illustrated series that I have been speaking the praises of for many an issue. Trials of Shazam is something that is out.
Yeah, I remembered liking that in the 90s or whenever it came out. I think I dug that series.
I don't know how to pronounce this.
I don't either.
BTTMFORS.
Don't know.
It looks cool.
It does. Yes, it's a Fantagraphics book. Cool thing.
Check it out. There's also a bunch of Golden books.
Yeah, we got a ton of Golden books this week.
He-Man Golden books, She-Ra Golden books, Star Wars Golden books. Looks like Minions.
Also, that's great because I know that there are a ton of fans of the new She-Ra series because it's great. And so I would imagine that there are probably kids out there who have been looking for something in that world aside from the cartoon, and finally there's actually one thing out there for She-Ra, so that's cool.
Nice. Also Deadpool, also Ironheart, also Bendis's cover. Also, we didn't talk about a comic that came out.
Oh God, yeah.
Which you might want to be of interest.
This is actually the biggest book of the week, probably.
Yeah.
Reaver. We forgot Justin to bring Jordan. It with us. It's definitely in my top tier of best books of the week. It's one of those like scalper books that it's like it's already worth money before we've even put it on the goddamn shelf. Frustrating. It's not for any reason other than just like
Skybound number one.
Yeah, I mean Skybound number one is the reason.
Yeah.
But it is very good. I'm really enjoying it. It's like I hate to this sounds terrible. Actually, that's a terrible review. I was gonna say it's a dumbed down version of Little Bird, but that's super unfair. It's a more accessible version of Little Bird.
I think Little Bird is not the most accessible of comics.
Yeah, it's more accessible. That's the word I was looking at. Dumbed down is not what I meant to say.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's got that same feeling of like you got the big juggernaut trapped in a building and some other interesting characters that are being loosed for one suicide mission. It's like escape from New York. Mixed with some other stuff. In fact, they even like steal a line. Number one, they steal a line from Escape from New York. I definitely noticed. And they stole a plot point from Archer. So I was like, okay, that's interesting too.
Did they do a lot of cocaine?
I wish that was the one. No, it was the one where he made the robot and he has to give him the serum once a day or else he would die.
Oh.
And so that's part of the storyline.
Cool.
But it's definitely an Escape from New York kind of idea. Again, stolen. That's paraphrasing. It's a thing that's been around for a long time. You know, got a bomb in your brain. It's going to go off. It's a suicide squad. It's a, you know, all those things.
If the bus goes slower than 55 miles an hour.
It's not owned by anybody at this point.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. So, super cool. The art is gorgeous. Illustrator.
Oh man, I don't know if I have that. I just deleted the
picture.
What is
her name?
I can tell
you.
Oh
my god.
Oh, damn it. Sorry. One sec.
Okay.
Just have to organize my photos.
Don't worry about it.
No, I got it. I got this. It is
The World
Justin
Has
Justin Jordan, Rebecca Isaacs.
Rebecca Isaacs.
And Alex.
Can't believe I forgot that.
Guimarães.
That I will.
Guimarães. I'm sorry, it's fuzzy.
God, I need
my
to.
My excuse is that it's fuzzy.
Yeah, I gotta learn how to pronounce more last names. This is getting hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I'm not even trying. I mean, I am
perfect.
I actually am trying. It's just I'm bad at it.
I love it. All right, so we're approaching an hour of talking about comics.
My God.
Holy,
there was so many comics though.
There was so much good stuff.
And we actually talked about them.
Yeah, I mean,
where else can you get that, folks?
And this was one of those things where it was like the stuff was good.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a pile of crap this week.
No.
You know, usually it's like five really good books and then some stuff that's like, hey, that's pretty good. I was stoked about a big pile of books this week. So.
Oh, yeah. I was.
I'm glad I don't have to buy comics anymore because my buy pile would have been stupid
this
week.
Well, that's my thing. It's like I like just bought a house and now I'm like trying to put books back. And it was like this week made it hard.
Yeah.
Very hard.
Holy
some
crap.
Really great books.
Guys.
Good stuff. Get into the Coast City. And if you
read
buying
Second
on,
Coming, for God's sake.
Yeah, Second
Holy
Coming.
Crap. What a great thing.
Read
and also,
Event
if,
Leviathan,
if you read it and you're like, I can't wait Wonder to get Twins. More of this craziness, read his two awesome religious books. God is Disappointed in You and the other one. I can't remember the name of it.
Are they book books?
Apocrypha Now. Yes, they're book books.
Ooh.
Apocrypha Now and
You've
God, is,
to,
God
them.
Is Disappointed in You.
I forget them as soon as we talk about
them. Oh, great.
I should get them.
Great, great, great.
Only there was a bookseller nearby.
Sadly, there are no booksellers left in Maine. Very sad. Sorry. All right, well, that's it. Have a good night, everybody.
Don't need no tea. Don't need no chicory.